there are no monsters, no real ones, but there are. Yes,
there are.
Welcome to the Collective Nightmares podcast.
This is Laura.
This is Marshall.
Is that my cue?
That was indeed your cue. And this is a special episode, I guess.
I feel really like out of it, and it's like, it's hard to do just a normal intro. I feel like this movie is exceptional.
The movie is exceptional.
The tone of the room has changed from having watched it, and it's like it's hard to sit here and do what we normally do.
It is.
Carry on, but just...
Okay.
I don't know, I feel like saying it's a very special episode.
we're hoping it is.
It is.
Before we do anything else, I do want to say that we give spoiler warnings, generally speaking. There will be spoilers for this film. Sometimes you don't care about spoilers. This is the time to care. If you haven't watched the film, you should not listen to the podcast.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You just should just stop right now. Listen to something else. Go watch it. Watch the original in French. I don't think either of us have seen the English remake.
Is there a remake?
They remade it in English.
Oh my god.
Why?
Because
who knows why people, because there's a market for it, because subtitles are hard. I don't know. But specifically for this episode, go watch the film. Don't listen if you haven't watched it in its entirety. So this is Collective Nightmares podcast. We watched Martyrs. We had seen it once before. I'd seen it once before. Laura had seen it. That was her second time. And we talked after that viewing, but the audio wasn't usable. And as we've recorded conversations since then, it has come up that we end up using Martyrs as the bar by which to measure other films. And Pascal Laugier, who both wrote and directed this film, as well as The Tall Man, which will be another episode that we've done. And this is all leading up to, he has a new film coming out in April that is called Ghostland. This is all, I guess, leading up to that. And because we found, as I think Laura probably put it best before the film, Martyrs is just a whole separate category of film.
Yeah.
So that's what's coming. That's a little, and a little bit of background. I'll read a...
I thought I was going to say, are you going to read the plot? what does that even say? Oh my god. Yeah, I kind of want to hear it, I guess, just to lighten things up a
bit. Let's find the shortest one. We'll do the shortest one, which is first. This is on IMDb. Again, Martyrs 2008, written and directed by Pascal Laugier, starring Morjana Alaoui and Mylene Jean-Panouai. I'm sure those, I didn't do justice to those names, and that's my apologies. I tried. All right, the plot summary is: a young woman's quest for revenge against the people who kidnapped and tormented her as a child leads her and a friend who is also a victim of child abuse on a terrifying journey into a living hell of depravity.
All right,
that's pretty good.
I mean, I guess
kind of. I mean,
sure. Well, you shouldn't be listening if you haven't seen it anyway. So.
Well, right, which is, and you, if you've seen it, which you should have seen it, you'll understand why it's kind of funny to read a plot summary. And this same person, Pascal Laugier, wrote and directed, does have a prior film that we had some trouble tracking down, but we think we've had it, which is House of Voices, and hopefully we will also do that episode at some point. But for now, but we're going to dive into Martyrs. I did a lot of talking for the intro.
All right.
Do you want to take over?
God, it's a good movie. It's so good. It is so good. It really does. I think this is the most viscerally impactful movie I've ever watched. And still, this third time, I actually think more so this time than the second. And we can save that for maybe when we're wrapping up, because I think the ambiance of the second movie and sort of what that did to it impacted me more than I realized at the time. Like, I thought it was the effect of a second viewing, and I think some of it was also just what was going on that night.
Yeah.
I mean, the first time I watched this movie, I watched it by myself in the basement. And afterwards, I mean, I remember feeling just anxiety during the movie to a level that I'd never felt watching a film. I mean, I always feel like I'm very analytical when I'm watching movies, and so I'm able to kind of emotionally detach to the extent that I keep myself comfortable. Like, I don't ever feel like the way you feel when you're a child or something. You're like sucked into something and it's scary and it's whatever and you can't get out of it. That's almost a feeling that I would say in horror movies I'm more after now as an adult, because it's just hard to get. And I was overloaded with that the first time I saw this movie. Like, I was impressed. And I think the reason I kept watching was because I couldn't believe it was doing that to me.
Right.
And, you know, it ended and I was just like, oh, it was amazing. It was just an amazing accomplishment. Whether you'd want to be good at doing that or not, you know, at the time, the first time I saw it, I would say, I don't know. I was so viscerally impacted by it that it ended and I thought, they did it. Like, it was amazing what they did. But it took me months, honestly, to get over that. Like, I didn't watch another horror movie for a long, long, long time. And it wasn't because I was afraid another movie wasn't going to be able to live up to it or something. It was because I did not want any more of that feeling. It was traumatic. Like, I was done. I cannot
imagine watching the film alone in a basement. I mean, I can, and in some respects that would be ideal.
Yeah.
For, like you said, really true, full impact. And at the same time, like you said, it is so upsetting and so traumatizing. I think if I were in a theater, I would commit and I would sit. But but at home, I think I'd be overwhelmed to the point where I'd have to take a break.
I can still picture exactly the position I was in and where I was and when I was feeling that feeling of like, I might not be able to do this. And just being honestly impressed that they could do that to me, because, you know, it's not like I haven't seen these types of movies before and like that wasn't,
right.
I mean, you know, I never had a movie be that effective like that. Afterwards, I watched like several episodes of Golden Girls.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And it's just to like, you know, like, wash that out of my brain. And then really, I did not want to go back there for a long, long time. But I will say I guess we can talk about that later, but this time watching it, I was more, you know, that was less strong. It's still there. It's like the movie's over and you could just feel it in the room. Like this,
it's heavy.
It's heavy. Yes. But I mean, less so, I would say now, knowing, you know, there were times when now I know what's going to happen next. I know what's going to happen next. And that changes that for sure. But this time I would say I was more impressed by the ideological stuff it tackled and how well it did it. And there's so many, it tackled so many of the important questions in life and just for me, like that's my kind of thing, right? So like, not only was it just, oh my God, like a sledgehammer of emotional impact, but I think they were really after something. Like they were really, really trying to play around with ideas that are incredibly important. And I'll just say one thing, and then you can.
Yeah.
It feels to me like some of the impact of this movie, like watching this type of suffering and torture, and just what humans can do to other humans, and how awful that can be. That really happens. You know, I mean, not exactly in this form. I mean, sometimes maybe in this type of, like, whatever, crazy torture kind of situation, but much more so in, like, real-world war and whatever situations where, like, we do this to each other for very similar motivations, you know? And the ideas it played around with, kind of around that and around our culpability and our ability to distance ourselves from that or not, I think it was amazing. It tackled a really hard set of like philosophical questions, and it did a great job with all of them. That's what stuck with me more this time, probably.
I appreciate that. Since this is a podcast, I'll just tell folks I've been nodding along with Laura for a little bit of time here now. Okay, a few things. First is, I think that is a key reason why both of us think so highly of the film, is because it does raise and discuss and deal with philosophical questions, and it is also really a tight film in the sense of what I look for, which is symbolism and creating a world of symbols and meanings that within the film are all integrated and important and interact with each other. And then, as you said, just the emotional, just trauma of watching the film is what I mean we're interested in horror movies, and we're interested in that experience of what are we interested in? We're in that experience of producing that sort of, like you said, that real primal dread. And it's maybe not, it's not just dread. I mean, there's dread here, but it is also, dread I think of as anticipation of horror, maybe. And it has that. I was thinking that, I mean, that, I was thinking that the, when Anna has crawled into the basement the first time, and she has a flashlight, and she's following the chain, and the flashlight, the little beam of the spotlight is showing this chain, and she's following it. I was like, that is a study in suspense right there. I was just, I mean, that, and like you said, that, I mean, it's so, it's got that. But it also has the unflinching violence, which is hard to watch. Well, okay, so one of the reasons I think we so highly is it works for both of us. Not only does it do that, but it is meta in the sense that the film itself is dealing with how to provoke some sort of extreme emotional state or perspective. The characters in
Interesting,
the film is are that's the goal. And at the same time, the film is maybe not doing that for us. Maybe not, we're not, I don't know, maybe we should talk about that. Is the film trying to martyr us as we're watching it?
That's super. I'd never thought of that, and that's totally interesting.
Because I feel like, I mean, I don't want to compare my suffering watching this to Anna's, or any of their ordeals, but as much as a movie could accomplish that, I think this does, and that is the kind of thing I absolutely love. I mean, I just had this discussion with Chris about what meta means and how it's become. There's a, I don't know, a recent article, or there's a re article from a couple of years ago about how meta has sort of just sort of infiltrated everything. Like even kids' movies refer to themselves now, and there's all these kind of self-referential jokes and. All that aside, that's, I don't care if any of that is going on, or if it's cheapening or detracting. The fact that the film does that while it is accomplishing telling the story of the film, and it working on those sorts of multiple levels, is absolutely just genius. It's just a phenomenal, at that level of, can't think of the right word, but that level of like complexity makes me like I want to like revisit my ideas for movies and like reconsider if I can't push them to a higher level. Like it makes me want to do something more with films that we think about or we've written or whatnot.
I totally agree. I there's so many directions I'm tempted to go at the same time because so many things were wonderful. And I'm wondering if I can kind of just give my own interpretation of what you just said,
Ooh, do yeah, do
which
that. Can I say one more thing quickly though? Is I have that written on my inspiration board for writing, which is something you
What's
said,
that?
which is it's worse when everybody seems fine with the horror that's happening. And I'm paraphrasing maybe a little bit, but that's absolutely, I was thinking about that when we were watching this.
Totally.
And I mean, I don't know if you took that from Martyrs or that's something that you've come up with on your own, but I know you'd said that to me at some point, and I was just like, that is really, I think, for me, like I said, I use it as think about that as a way to evoke or to write better or more something more intense. So by all means, yeah, say.
There's so many offshoots and they're all so interesting, but just in a general sense, I think that one reason that like you're right, we both like horror movies. We're both to some extent interested in the experience of, like you said, evoking dread or whatever that is. And I don't know exactly what it is. And I feel like we could have easily a 3-hour podcast just around what is the appeal of horror movies, which is something I'm still trying to figure out for myself because there's a whole lot of like introspection around like, why do I like this? Why do I really, you know? And I won't go down that rabbit hole right now, but I do think that for me, there's some element of like wanting to find the boundary, like wanting to find the border of some kind of experience. You know, like these movies are pushing you in that direction. I don't know if dread is the right word or what you want to call it, but that it's a negative emotion. It's something. It's scary. It's bad. It's repulsive. It's whatever it is. And they're trying artistically as hard as they can to like push that boundary. I'm not talking about this movie specifically, but like horror movies in general frequently are trying to do that, often while doing other really interesting things. And I don't even know what I find most exciting about that whole genre. Like, I don't know if it is the negative emotion pushing or if it is the fact that you can deal with things that are taboo or different or, you know, just sort of outside the boundaries of maybe more regular movies. maybe that's whatever, I'm getting off track here. You know, maybe that's more of like the draw. I don't know. But from the like sort of visceral, just negative emotion side, I know personality-wise at least that I often just like to feel like, okay, but that was, I mean, I could still handle that. Like, I want to know where I can't handle it. I just want to know what that feels like. And that's maybe some sort of like, I don't know if that's a psychological disorder of its own. But Martyrs was the only movie that I ever feel like pushed to that level where I just thought, I'm done. Don't need to like I don't need to have that artistic experience anymore. Like whatever it was I was looking for, and just like you know, because people were you could tell what they were trying to do, but it was never effective enough. I was like I was never scared or whatever that feeling is. Not I don't want to say like I needed to be more, but it was just like yeah, you probably could have done that better. You know, like yeah, that was unpleasant.
Or
That
I
was
feel
whatever.
upset, and now I'm leaving the theater and I can kind of go about my life.
And why I would want to know what more of that feels like, I don't know, but it just becomes an artistic question when you're watching these kind of movies over and over. It's like, who does it better? Who does it? What makes it work? What makes it not work? And nobody, I think, has ever done it for me anywhere nearly as effective as this movie. And like I said, I don't know what, I don't know why you'd want to be good at that or why you'd want to experience that, but I think just something about finding that boundary of like, I feel like this movie defined it. Like that's as far as that feeling needs to go.
I think that's hilarious that you say that abstractly, as though you and I aren't both aspiring screenwriters.
But I don't think.
You're like, people want to do this, and I'm like, we want to do
Well,
this.
yes, but I
Well,
don't know if that's the interesting part
you.
of horror, honestly. I mean, that's I think there's always been something I found fun about as a kid, whatever, you know, going to see Scream or something like that and being like, "Ooh, it's
Were you
scary."
a kid when that came out?
Well, I was in high school, wasn't I? I don't know, how old was I? Anyway, like whatever, seeing a scary movie and feeling like the kind of feeling where you're kind of like scared and you kind of huddle up with your friend. There's like something sort of just fun about that. And that's like one element of why people like horror, why I like horror. But there's a lot of other stuff going on too. And I think I found, especially like the older I get and the more I see, the more I'm interested in the philosophical, ideological stuff and the fact that it deals with subjects that other genres don't deal with. And like the reason that we go back to like Proxy and stuff like that a lot, those aren't horror movies. They share some
No, but
common
they're,
elements,
yeah, they
but
do share the, what are the limits of
yeah.
what's acceptable and how people
Yeah.
can behave.
Right, which is like a, which is a conversation about humanity more than it is like boo, you know, I made you jump kind of thing. Like it's not just
Oh,
about
for
the
sure.
visceral whatever. So I don't know how much the visceral piece while I find it fun and I find it fun to play with, I don't know if that's just a remnant of it being a part of the genre and having seen so many of these movies that, like, now I find that that's just part of the experience. You know, I don't know if that's what I'm trying to accomplish or not, but that's just one element of horror. But this movie, on that small topic, like, oh my God, it just,
yeah,
like, they did, they done,
yeah,
done. And so many things have tried, like a Serbian film. Did you see that?
No, I didn't ever still watch that. No, maybe
that was
at some point.
I feel like that was their only goal, basically. And, nah, I mean, I...
Yeah, and just... we've talked about, I mean, I mean that was a thing. Carson is the first one who said that to me, of, I did it, but he's the one who categorized it as, like, we were both really interested in watching what are supposedly the unwatchable films.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what are the films that are so... Because, like you said, a lot of people, I would even argue most people who are interested in horror... are interested in kind of like what you said, that like, I want to feel a little bit scared,
yeah,
but I don't want to get so far. It's like, I don't know what it's like. It's like a lot of more people like roller coasters than skydiving or something like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, and, or maybe even something more dangerous than skydiving. I don't know, rock climbing or something. But for films like this, I feel like it is... It is what, like you said, it is past what most folks are comfortable with, or want to experience. Even if those people want to experience discomfort and in some sort of like fear, horror, bad,
like snuggle up with your buddy, and, you know.
Because and there's so much of horror that, like, at least sort of in the writing about it, and is you want to experience the horror, but there's a resolution at the end. So you come away, it's reaffirmed in your security that things are going to be all right.
Yeah.
Because the killer does die or get killed, or maybe the killer isn't totally dead, so there can be a sequel, but it's packaged.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
There's bookend where, and that's something about this. There is no resolution.
There's so much to talk about there. Yes.
There's
I didn't want to start that train.
Else have we seen? We talked about something else that had like no happiness and no... I feel like the only thing I can think of for... Did we watch Prisoners?
No.
Did I make you watch that?
No.
There's a little bit of happiness at the end there. What about Nocturne? Didn't we watch something that had... that was also just like there's no happiness in it? There's no resolution, or like this is going to be remotely okay for anyone.
Probably.
But not very many. Not very many. And I can't think of any off the top of my head, which means to me by just that measure of what I'm aware of, Martyrs stands out. Because if we were talking about another film, I would be able to think of Martyrs as something that stood out. It's funny that you say that. You've not any other films have had this impact on you.
None, no.
Okay.
But, and I think the other, though, important piece to that is that that's, like, one element of horror, and that's one element of this movie, but I don't even know if that's its biggest accomplishment. I mean, that's a spectacular accomplishment. Yeah. Like I said, whether you want to do that or not, I don't know, but they did it, and they did it amazingly well. And a lot of people try and just don't come anywhere near this being this successful. But it was about so much, and they did it so well. God, they dealt with real questions, and I think really thought-provoking. Like, we have to go down that road.
So give us some of those questions. And I don't know if we'll get through all of them, but, you know, just for people who are... one thing I'm trying to be better at is, like, finishing a thought.
Oh,
so
sure.
Okay. I maybe have some ideas to your questions, but throw a few out there so we have some kind of example or idea.
Okay, and let me take one little really fast over, maybe 12 seconds. The first time I watched it, I remember when they started to, kind of at the end when they started to raise the, like, okay, here's what a martyr is, here's why we're doing this, whatever. I got really scared for the film. And that was good in a way because it did pull me out of the being scared at being in the film, you know, mindset for a minute. And I thought, they're doing such a good job. Here's where they're going to screw it up. Like, here it comes. They're trying to do something with, oh God, like, really? They're going to try to do that. They're going to try to make it, like, about this big, like, they're just going to blow it at the end, and I'm going to hate this movie. I should probably turn it off right now because it's so good. And then they just nailed the landing. Yeah. Like they just, it was like, oh my God, you, not only did you do this, but then you did that and you bit that off, like, which is an amazing thing to even do. And then they succeeded.
And so I guess talking about when Miss comes in and starts talking about, this is what martyrs.
Yeah, absolutely.
What, like, we're looking for, or what. Yeah.
Because it goes from being just this sort of like torture, revenge, and culpability, right? I mean, they raise the issue of culpability right at the beginning with her killing the kids, which is, at first, like, you're just horrified by that. And then later on, you start to come around over the movie, like, oh, wait a second. This wasn't just something that happened. I mean, first of all, you don't even know if you're supposed to believe what's going on. So now these, like, innocent family just died. And then it's like, okay, well, even if the parents were involved, we still don't know if we believe that. But now these kids, come on, the guy, he was 3? You can't. Oh, my God, it's horrible. They just died. Then you find out it's still happening, and then you start to realize, wait a second, he's 18. He's living right upstate. Like, maybe he did deserve that. Like, you know, I mean, you know, like, this, huh? And they do so much just on the, like, revenge. If that's all it was a revenge movie, they did such a good job. To then move into, like, Act 2, where they bring in, okay, now it's not just, well, it's more complicated, right? It's not just we're trying to torture you because whatever, we're messed up, we like to torture people. We're going to make a martyr. We're trying to figure out what's on the other side. We're, you know, and at the end when all the, like, the people show up to figure out what's going on, you kind of get the sense, at least I got the sense watching it, that this martyr was supposed to take everybody else's pain and anxiety away. You know, we're torturing this select amount of people till we can get the answer. Once we have it, because everybody in the world, like, everybody struggles with this. Everybody wants to know what's out there. And these are particularly, like, atheists, I guess, or at least there's a common mention of non-religion, right? So people who are doubtful, who are questioning what's on the other side, and all this anxiety it creates in people, and especially everybody getting out of the car was, like, old. So these are all people who might be facing this more acutely. And, you know, it switches to this question of, like, what they're trying to do is kind of a good thing or a kind thing if you don't, you know, balance of harm, right? Like, you're going to take all the pain and all the suffering and all the everything, and it's going to help everybody else.
Right.
There's at least an element of that going on.
Right.
And so it just gets way more interesting at that point, right? Because I think you can draw parallels to the whole world. Like, and I can't help but I have to give this little plug for the best book in the universe that I just finished recently. It's by Nicholson Baker, and it's called Human Smoke, and it's about World War II. It's Nicholson Baker's amazing, first of all. I don't know if you've read anything by Nicholson Baker, but I love him. Aside from his books about sex, I have to say they're mostly bad. But, like, if you just disregard that, he's amazing. But one of the most, like, life-changing books I've read recently.
Wow.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And it's about the beginnings of World War II. And it goes through kind of day by day and just all drawn from, like, primary sources, from, like, newspaper articles, people's diaries, things like that. And just gives little clip, 2-paragraph maybe, accounts of something from somebody's perspective. Each day sort of leading up to the American involvement in the war, basically.
So and in America or in one of the occupied countries?
All over the place. It's from all different players. And
so it's not just fascist creep.
No. And that's, so I feel like the biggest, it lets you in on people's motivations behind kind of what all the different sides are doing. But the biggest impact I feel like it had was that you start to, there's a very strong pacifist argument in the book. And you start to look at what the good guys are doing as, in a lot of ways, just as harmful as what the bad guys are doing. And it really blurs the lines, I think, between sides and between, like, moral.
Up until we figure out what the Nazis are doing?
Well, read it, because it's just really, it's amazing. But I think this question of, like, we like to tell ourselves good stories when we're doing bad things. We can do something terrible, and we can tell ourselves it's for the greater good, and look who it's going to. Look who it's going to fix, and look who it's going to help, and oh yeah, it might be bad. Well, we're just not going to pay attention to that because overall it's better, and that's something that humans do in so many different ways. And I think that's, like, the central idea that this movie was tackling to me was, you know, how it changes your perspective on the situation you're looking at several times, and each time it changes, you're like, oh my God, these people are terrible. I can't believe they're doing that. Oh, wait, that kind of made sense. But, oh, my God, these people are terrible. And you start to realize just how fluid that is and how much,
But they're all terrible, like, are they not?
No, yes, and they're all terrible. But I mean, I think I just can't help but go to, because I've been reading this book, I can't help but go to like war and politics and things like that, and think that it's very easy to be like behind, you know, whatever, some kind of movement or whatever, that, oh, okay, there might be some suffering associated with that, but hey, look, here's all the good.
Sure.
And that yes, happens that is... in so many ways all the time. People just do that.
Yes.
And that's... It is so bad, but it's like, it makes you question what else is bad that we're calling good.
Yeah. Absolutely, that's great. I don't know if I have a lot to offer on top of that, other than, yes, it does, and it does more so than maybe I've realized of, well, that's interesting. Okay, you're right. We keep shifting perspectives. Okay, Lucy, it's a horrible experience, escapes, goes to this house, shoots up this family. We think, okay, she's been fucked up because she had this abuse. And now we don't know if what's going on, if yeah, she's yeah. just fucked up and now she's a killer or whatever. But then we hear, okay, these people were terrible. And so we think, oh, okay, maybe Lucy's okay after all. And, or maybe not okay, but sort of justified.
Oh, yeah.
And then Anna comes in and is trying, also been abused, I guess, and also is trying to help her friend and ends up doing these terrible things, covering up and all this sort of thing. And then the long story short is what I was to say is it makes perfect sense that Anna is the martyr, because Anna is the one who doesn't ever really do anything terrible, right? I mean, she covers up for Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
But that is arguably the least terrible thing, right? She doesn't ever actually kill anyone.
Yeah.
She...
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, she's enabling Lucy, but, I mean, I think that, again, I'll just say that's the most justified of anything. Mm-hmm. And then she's just brutalized for the rest of the film. And so there's all the people who do the brutality to her.
Yeah, yeah.
There's all the people who have been doing that brutality to however many people. I certainly can't fault Lucy for having stalked these folks and killed them and put them down. Even in the kids, like you say, it's a little more questionable, but even still, but like everybody else has done something more directly terrible, I feel like. Is that?
I feel like Lucy is almost absolved once you see what's still happening, because the idea that she like ended
that's
it.
True.
Is so I mean
that's why
you know,
they are the two, that's why it's martyrs plural.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't think so necessarily, but I do feel like Anna at first is just blind to it. I mean, as anyone would be who's like not gone through this trauma. Like she just walks in like a normal person. She sees some family suffering. She doesn't know if her friend's crazy. Of course, she tries to help the mom out of the bathroom because she's still thinking, maybe, what's going on here? Like, you know. But once she's locked up in the basement and seeing this is still... I mean, somebody needed to walk in and do something about that because, you know. The family, you know, I think you start off seeing them as just horrible. All the people who are victimizing these people, you know, you start off as seeing them as just terrible. And then I don't want to say... It's not that they're good by the end, by any stretch. But I do think the type of mental... you know, whatever gymnastics they have to do to say, when you see the guy up there making a smoothie or shaving or whatever it is he's doing, you know, I felt like that was meant to, same thing as the family at the beginning, seeing them cooking their eggs, that they have this normal life going on. Yes, they're doing this other bad thing, but they're just living as kind of normal people. And what they have to do mentally to be able to do that is, I think, something that is done all the time, all over the world in real people situations. And arguably even we do. I won't even say arguably.
Oh, sure.
We
yeah,
do.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, we support, and by support, I mean financially, I mean whatever, you know, institutions and policies and things that are incredibly hurtful to people without holding ourselves entirely accountable, because we can tell a story that says, here's why it's sort of okay.
Right.
And those people are doing the exact same thing, right? I mean, they're, you know, it's like the interesting philosophical question of, oh, if one person could take all the suffering for the world, should they?
Yeah.
Very kind people would say yes, some of them, you know, because it's like, well, yeah, I mean, sure, because on balance, it's better. And on balance, maybe this would be better, right? If she could really solve everybody's anxiety about death and whatever, she could give the answer that was then going to make it all, like, okay. Maybe it should be done. I'm not saying it should be, you know, but I think they take it to a place where they're not just monsters anymore. They're an interesting thing that we all do, which just makes it way more complicated. And God, then the ending we have to get into too. Yeah. But
it is that degrees of separation, which is very much, I mean, Eichmann and the Nazis, right? Is mm-hmm. because you were a bureaucrat instead of a Mengele in the, or you know, somebody in the camp. You're no less liable.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. Like you said, because we're detached, however many degrees from whatever horror is happening,
or can rationally justify it. P.S. Read Human Smoke. Like, totally, just read it. I really think you should read it.
Someday when I read books again,
I'll read it.
Consider it.
But. Horrors happen all the time that we stand behind because we say it's better than the alternative.
Right.
And maybe in this case, it would be. Like, if they were right. I'm not saying they are. I mean, I'm not making that argument. I'm just saying they raise a really interesting question because that's something that we do all the time.
Yes. And they raise the question and they raise it well. And they do it. They really do it without being, maybe there's a touch of heavy-handedness in the exposition, but
a hair.
Really not. I do think it's interesting that they, like you said, they make a point that it's not religious, and I'm sitting here trying to think, like, isn't that supposedly what religious martyrs do? Is they suffer for our sins? Jesus, the original martyr or something?
I was wondering, I was like, I don't know, and I feel like I should be more informed on that just as a human. But I'm not sure. Is that what religious martyrdom is?
What I have of, they've suffered extraordinarily for other people. Yeah. They've taken on other folks' burden.
But the definition they gave at the end had something to do with seeing, right?
Just said witness.
Witness.
Did it say something else?
What did that come from? Why am I thinking of a definition of martyrs recently? Did you... Was that article that you sent about, by, help me out here, that, you, do you know what I mean? The one recently that you,
I'm going to look at this definition.
Do you know which one I mean? By that woman that you like, and you sent me little clips of things and were like, read these. You're right, it said witness.
I don't know.
That you sent me from somebody's book, and you like her, and you sent me the little... like highlighted stuff of it, and I read it, and I swear, wasn't there something in there on martyrs? And I feel like it was in line with that. It had something to do with like religious, not witnesses and having seen something. Well, sort of, but like being willing to say that you
sent you by text
are
or no?
Maybe text, being willing to say that you are, that you support a certain religious story kind of thing. That like that was like the base of that word. Isn't that why you sent it to me? That it was based on martyrs.
No idea.
It kept making me think of that anyway. That I think in that sense, witness wasn't like, it was just someone who's willing to stand up and say that they experienced.
Okay.
Like, you might be like a Christian, whatever, martyr would be somebody who just says they're Christian. Like, I can attest to that being true kind of thing. I don't know. Anyway, maybe that's irrelevant.
So what other questions?
Can I say one more?
Yeah.
So they bite off that huge, huge question. And then how do you end that story? Because there's no ending. And then they just nailed it. Oh my God, they nailed it. And I'd like to talk about the ending again. I mean, I'm sure we've done this in the past also, but it was still just as good. And knowing that I was going to want to scrutinize everything. And it, like when the ending comes, I'm like watching every little thing and every little facial expression and every little, they just, How do you end this movie? What did she say? What is the answer to this question we all want to know? You know, was it worth it? Was it not worth it? Like, should she have done it? Should she not have done it? Because nobody knows that. Like,
nobody knows that answer. So as a storyteller, as someone making the film, are you going to step in? Are you going to give the answer? Are you going to answer that question for us?
There's no way.
I mean, I guess like you could if you decided you wanted to, but like, are you going to do that? Oh man. And they just killed it. They just gave you exactly the same question right back in your face. Like they just emotionally, they handed you exactly what was already there.
Except, maybe not. And I don't know. I'll just say that it upsets me that the woman, old woman gets to kill herself.
Mm.
So Anna does end up taking suffering and she gets to benefit from it.
But maybe she didn't benefit. That's kind of the question, right?
But even if she didn't benefit from it, she didn't suffer as fucking these other people she's been torturing for years. She got to just be like, because I'm sure many of those other people who didn't become martyrs.
Right.
The four, whatever they had, who had some kind of hope, right? Would have gladly taken their lives.
Right.
However many days long, years before. So that's my punitive, she shouldn't have. But, I mean, on the other hand, at least Anna did suffer in a way that was effective enough that it essentially killed the woman.
Well, so it's like there are several interpretations of that, though, right? It's like she gave her the answer, and the answer was somehow...
like there is another side,
positive or something, and this woman's like terrible because she's taking that with her and not saving everybody else. I feel like that seems somewhat unlikely.
Yeah, why would she not tell other folks?
Yeah,
it was like there's heaven or I don't know, whatever, something decent on the other side.
Which I think I believe too. So I mean that she would have. So then like maybe she tells her something so terrible that she's got to kill herself. Like, she doesn't want anybody to have this information because maybe she is coming from an altruistic kind of place where the goal was to help end human suffering by telling everybody the answers to life's big question. And now she's got the answer. And when she says keep doubting, it's like you're better off
not knowing.
So she takes her own life so that nobody else has to, nobody gets it out of her. Nobody, you know, if they know that she knows, and they're apparently willing to go to lengths to get this, you know, like.
Which I agree with that, and that's a good interpretation. I'm trying to think if that's exactly what I thought it was. That is super interesting to me because then all this fucked up shit that she engineered and did was fucking useless.
Right.
Pointless.
Right. Again, read the Nicholson Baker book about World War II. I just have to throw that Baker in again. I can't. I'm sorry. I can't help it. It was life-changingly wonderful. But yes, exactly right. She did all this torture and terribleness and whatever for the sake of the greater good, and then the greater good never materializes. Like, it would have been better just not to do it.
Just don't do it in the first place.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Don't torture people into martyrdom.
Right. Which, again, people do, like, I feel like this is just, it's like a metaphor for humanity.
Absolutely.
Because people do that all the time.
And so is there any other interpretation of that? I feel like that's my preferred, probably, reading.
I guess, do we know that she knew the answer? Because she talked, do we know that what she said was what's on the other side? I know the guy in his little speech said that, but I don't know if he was aware, because when he went and talked to the woman, he sounded more like, what? Did she really talk to you? You know, so maybe she didn't have any information. Maybe she babbled nonsense. I mean, we don't really know what she said.
If she babbled nonsense, again, it wouldn't make sense for the woman to kill herself.
You're right.
I agree with you. I appreciate, like, let's explore how this goes. My impression is, because she talked to her for whatever it said, like 2.5 hours or something. Like, I feel like the only other, maybe not the only, but the other, another interpretation I can think of is that knowledge achieved by Anna is overwhelming unless you've earned it.
Hmm.
So if you haven't gone through that suffering,
okay,
it would lead you to kill yourself. But, because they say, make a point to say, like, Anna's still alive.
Right.
Which one,
Right.
I thought, for me, that's just like you said, every time I think I'm pushed about as far as I can go, mm-hmm. it pushes further. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, God, at least after all of this, right. at least she gets to die. And it's like, nope, she's still alive.
Did you see the last...
suffering, and we're still going to keep her alive. Even though she's already done everything we want her to do.
Right.
But can't we just at least put her out of her misery at this point? She talked to the woman. It's just like, nope, we're just going to keep her alive and whatever. But that would be my only other thing would be maybe, okay, she tells this woman and it's like, if you haven't lived through that to get it, to earn it by yourself, it is so mm-hmm. overwhelming.
She kills herself.
That would be a glimmer of hope for me.
Sure.
A glimmer of like, something like, okay, the woman knew that maybe she knows from Anna that Anna found whatever the thing is, but she also figures out that she will never get to achieve that unless she goes through all this, and she can't go through all that, so she's got to kill herself in like despair, because now she knows there is an answer, but she knows it'll never work for her, it'll never mean to her what it would have to mean to somebody else.
See, I don't
be like the happiest version of.
I don't know, because
she's still not happy.
But. If what Anna said was that there is something on the other side, then killing herself doesn't mean going away. It means going there, whatever that is. If Anna tells her there's nothing there, then killing herself, you know, that's when, like you're saying, it almost like she has to kind of, like, this is so overwhelming, she has to go, but she has to go to it, you know? Like, she doesn't just get to disappear into nothing.
Go somewhere. I guess I'm saying that, like, it's not necessarily that she would get to go somewhere. It's just that whatever that... Because yeah. I guess I'm... You're right. The movie does push that it's really about experiencing the other side.
Yeah.
And I wasn't thinking of it really so much as the other side as I was sort of like the key to life. Or the answer to life.
Okay.
Rather than like what happens.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, this is why... I feel like there's another movie where... somebody learns the key to life, and it's so, like, powerful that it like, kills them or something. Like, some alien tells a human. Anyway, but you're right. It is very much about, is there something past death? So you're right. If there's something past death, and it's...
But the answer could be no. I think the movie is still consistent with the answer being no, potentially. Like, we don't know that the answer was yes.
We don't know. Like, what I heard you saying was, okay, if the woman finds out from Anna that there is something, and then she went and killed herself, it would be, okay, the woman is going to go to whatever that something is.
Yeah, maybe.
So then if the woman... kills herself, but Anna said there isn't anything. Why? It doesn't make sense.
Then it's
why
more like
she would do that.
She's trying to get away from the now, because now she feels terrible because she's gone through this whole thing and whatever and seen all this.
She looks remorseful. I don't think there was any reason for us to feel like she had remorse.
She was stone faced. I mean, I was staring at her the whole time trying to see if they gave any hint. And I don't know that they.
If we had gotten a tear
or something,
I would be totally on board with that. But I got no remorse.
Don't you think they did that on purpose, though? Because. I mean, I don't think that means that there was
no
remorse.
This is a film where I will absolutely do everything was on purpose.
I mean, I think they purposely wanted to give us no answer. And so it's like, I don't think this leans by the end whether there is or isn't something there. And I don't think it leans whether it is or isn't. I guess. No, I'll take that back. I don't think it says there's something there and it's good. Because if so, you're right, she would have shared that probably. I think that's the least likely explanation.
But if there's something there and it's bad, why would she kill herself?
Because she doesn't... To save everybody else. To then be the martyr, right? I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm taking that too far. But her whole goal in this was to answer this question for all of humanity who's like just dying to know the answer and experiencing all this anxiety and whatever. She wants to solve that for them. So she's willing to let this other person suffer so terribly. That person suffers, tells her something. Now it's bad. If she shares that news, everybody's going to suffer worse because now they're going to know whatever they're dreading, whatever they don't want to know. And she doesn't want to, she's going to take that secret with her. Like, she's going to kill herself so they can't get it out of her. Because if she came up to them and said, oh, nothing, never mind, I'm not going to tell you. I mean,
these people,
that would be a good ending to the movie, actually.
That maybe it's like the first joy I've experienced. You're right.
Other than like the uncomfortable laughter of like, well,
oh god, I could just picture. I'm wrong.
But it's not like these people are above torture. I mean, she would have to know that if she had information they wanted, they could possibly get it out of her, right? Like, she can't just go about her business and yeah, exactly. Like, oh, she didn't talk about anything or just make something up or whatever. Like, you know.
So. I'm sorry. I lost track for a second there. Do we need an answer? Like, you're saying that it's a film that resists answering.
Yeah, because the question it tackled, again, which is why I was like, oh, come on, guys. Like, you already made a spectacular movie. Two-thirds of the way through, you're going to do that. You're going to take on, like, the most important question in the world, basically. Actually, a couple of them at the same time. And you think you're going to juggle that well? And then they do. And they just, like I said, they just land it perfectly. How do you answer that as a filmmaker? Because we don't have an answer. I mean, you could give... As soon as you give a perspective, you're making it a movie about that being the answer.
Right.
And nobody knows the answer. So that's not...
Yeah,
then it just becomes like tropey and whatever.
Well, yeah.
I think they're just playing with the question. They're playing with the what if. Would it be worth it? Would it whatever? It's not worth it if or if not there is an answer. Because from our perspective, we don't know, you know, whether there is or isn't. So I don't think.
You're right. All we know is that she went through, she put all these people through untold torment.
Yeah.
And whatever she learned from that. Just made her take her own life.
And I think the parallels, like if we think about war, we think about all these other things that I want to liken it to in human experience, you don't get to sit here and look out and say, well, is it worth it? Is it not worth it? Is it, you don't ever really know the answer to that. You do it telling yourself this story that it's going to be worth it or whatever, but like, it's not about the answer existing that tells you whether checkbox you made the right decision. And I think for them to have given you an answer at the end would have been counter to the whole experience it's trying to emulate, you know? All they did was throw that right back in your face. They just threw the question right back at you. Right? It's a movie about questions. I think it's not about answers.
I agree with you. I agree that things aren't answered. But I think that there are some options that are closed off because the woman kills herself.
Yeah.
And let me just throw out an idea here. What if when the woman talked to Anna, she ends up basically like going catatonic too?
Okay.
So if we saw that as a film.
Okay.
Like even maybe she got upstairs and then she started to think about like, what I'm going to tell people, and had the full realization and basically assumed the state that Anna was in when we leave her at the end of the film. That, I feel like, would suggest that whatever Anna learned, it can be passed on.
Right, but it broke her.
In a way, right. It can be passed on in a way that, good or bad... It can be transmitted.
Right.
And the death, I feel like there's something there that means like whatever this is that you wanted to know, you don't get to know. And you're right, we don't know why you don't get to know. Is it good? Is it bad? Mm-hmm. Is there nothing there? Is there something? But we do know that you don't get to know. I'm going to go back to unless you go through the suffering and you're an exceptional person.
I think or it's bad. I think it's one of the two.
Or it's bad.
And the woman altruistically kills herself, sort of.
being the pessimist that I am.
Yeah,
but I mean, I think either one of those. But I think you're right.
She could be altruistic without being remorseful. Mm-hmm. She could be, you know, whatever, fuck all these people.
I still think it was worth it. But,
harmed
yeah.
and tortured or whatever. But you're right. In the altruism of the people I really care about, who are all these
right.
crowded downstairs, I'm going to take it out.
Right.
Or I'm going to take myself out because... Now I'm trying to think. Because, okay, so what if she told them and they all end up killing themselves too?
Because what she said, but she ends it with saying, keep doubting.
Yeah, she ends up saying, keep doubting.
So that seems to lean...
Doesn't that seem like... Well, and so if she's telling other people, keep doubting.
Like it's better than knowing is what I hear.
Yes, what that implies very strongly to me is that she does now know something.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever that something is that she knows... that she learned from Anna
mm-hmm.
is cause that she is going to sit down and kill herself, even though this is her life mission that mm-hmm. she's accomplished.
Right, right.
All these people are waiting on her.
Right.
Looking to her for, like you said, resolution and answers to hugely important mm-hmm. questions and, you know, justify all mm-hmm. of these things that they supported, presumably financially.
Right.
So what does that mean? I still think that means that either you have to suffer to be able to cope with knowing, or
that it's just bad news. I mean, it could be there's nothing out there, and that's what these people don't want to hear, and so that would be terrifying.
Because even if it were a good place, even if it's like, oh, mm-hmm. there's heaven, they're like, you're not going there.
You're right. I was going to say, it could be like, I mean, it could be that she told her what's in store for these people when they get there.
Right.
Not that that would be a reason to quickly exit the place. But again, maybe to save everybody else for the time. So at least let them right. live out their life.
Yeah. I don't see any interpretation where it's like, oh, there's heaven for anyone.
Well, maybe though. I mean, maybe for other Anna? People. For other people.
Maybe for
you know, it could be like themselves. I even... Just people who didn't, say, torture people in their basement for, like, 20 years. I mean,
like
I feel like...
you said, we're all culpable and...
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true.
But, like you said, more directly culpable.
I don't really know. I mean, I don't... It's possible that she could have learned something sort of specific to her own or their own lot with regard to this whole thing that somehow made her know that it was going to be terrible for them.
Okay. Do you want to talk other philosophical questions? Do you have other questions that it brings up? Should we take something off our list and come back to a second question?
What, on the list? Oh.
As a little bit of a break? Or
sure. Yeah, no, I think that was... I mean, those are the questions, right? It's just like the meaning of life and you know, sort of the rationality of human suffering and
yeah,
how should you divvy out the horrors of the world?
Those are plenty big. I just... The way you sort of said that early on, I thought you had
just the list too.
They were big enough that two feel, but I felt like a list.
They're only like the two most important questions. What were you like? You're downplaying the like. I mean, it's about like you know the meaning of life and like.
No, you're absolutely right.
Whether we do harm to each other, well, I mean, whatever.
I'll give you a little bit of a hard time.
There are like five important questions in life. I'm just guessing. That's like two of them. So I mean, come on.
Yes.
Two-thirds of the way in, the movie dives into that.
Right. Right. Well, and it only can dive in because of the first two-thirds,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you another question, which I was thinking is, which we've already kind of talked about, but that was one of the few things I wrote. I actually thought about writing notes this time, was the horror of it... of them systematizing the brutality.
Yeah.
And again, I keep thinking about fascism and Nazis and like, you know, this is Hannah Arendt's The Banality of Evil.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, it just within the horror genre itself to go from the beginning early scene, that is a very classic horror torture film. Things are grimy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Things are, you know, rickety.
Mm-hmm.
It's abandoned and dark and like shambles and then Lucy escapes And then we move all the way forward to when Anna goes in, and it's like, and I mean, they say that directly too, like, oh yeah, back then we weren't organized.
Yeah, yeah.
All we did was learn from this. And I was thinking, so like, horror movies are, so many of them are built on that, like, it's this randomness of violence.
Yeah.
Or even if it's not this randomness, it's a serial killer who, maybe if it's a serial killer who doesn't, or like an abuser, or like, I don't know, serial rapist or serial criminal, whatever, who has like some bizarre idea about why he's collecting, I don't know, I'm thinking of whatever, Kiss the Girls, he's collecting women because they're all exceptional,
mm-hmm. yeah,
in some way, or the seven deadly sins, and each one is supposed to mean something, and so it takes that and it flips it all on its head, right? And it's like systematic, clean, orderly, funded,
mm-hmm.
which is very much the horror of Nazism, right? It's the bureaucratization.
Or war, just in general.
But the Nazis were the bureaucratization
yeah,
of
yeah,
death,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Which is why they were able to be so effective at
yeah.
it. I mean, I understand, you know, like Genghis Khan was also a very effective killer, but that to me is probably the banality of evil. I haven't gotten all the way through Arendt's book, but that to me is probably it's one of the best, like most concise statements of the banality of evil is we have bureaucratized death. And mm-hmm. they're here, they've yeah, bureaucratized
yeah.
suffering.
Yeah.
And yeah. it's not, I don't yeah. know, it's not yeah. for any other reason.
Yeah,
it's not
right.
like sport or, I'm trying to think of another movie where it's like, there's sometimes killers who are very like orderly in particular, and mm-hmm. it's like they're kind of an OCD thing for them. They have to do, I don't know, Dexter has to do all these things in this very specific mm-hmm. way. But that's not, I don't know, I feel like there's still a difference, even with Dexter, where it's like he's doing that part mostly to cover his crime. And he has a ritual,
yeah.
but it's a ritual. It's not a system.
Yeah, right.
And I don't know exactly what the difference between a ritual and a system is. And I probably should, because I'm a sociologist, and those seem like really important. It's like Durkheim and Weber, the Protestant ethic and the spirit of capitalism, and like the importance of religiosity and ritual. So I should know that. And I will say that I do know that. I just can't vocalize it right now. But this film to me is the difference between ritualistic death and systematic death. And I feel like most or many horror films don't do systematic death, because systematic death doesn't seem as scary.
Oh, wait,
unless you do it like this.
See, but I feel like that's exactly what made it effectively scary. And I think for the exact reason that, like, if you have a movie where you're trying to show violence, you're trying to show victimization or whatever, and the reason behind it has to be that guy's bad, whatever, then you have to create this character who, for some reason that you can't really relate to as a normal person,
right?
Wants to do this bad thing. So you give them these goofy traits, you give them whatever, so that
they've been disturbed by abuse,
right?
That, you know,
right.
as kids,
right? And then the reason they do things the way they do it, like you said, it's ritual, it's whatever it is, it makes them feel better about whatever, whatever. You have to create some backstory for this person that's
evil.
Like, yeah, exactly, right?
Dun, dun, dun.
No, exactly, exactly. This is gonna go back to the clown in It. That's where I'm going.
Yeah, okay.
So like, but like, that doesn't. That's not relatable to people, and so that doesn't raise interesting questions, really. It's just like, how cool of a weird bad guy character can you create? Yay, you know? Whereas what this does is it takes, I think, a real honest question that people struggle with and an actual like moral dilemma that we all face, and that is what drives it. And so now it doesn't need to be driven by some like, you know, it's not the crazy guy with the people in the basement, whatever. It's like, this makes sense, doesn't it? You've used this exact line of reasoning, haven't you? Like, you've done this in some form. And so we're going to show you how it's, and well, it's, and it's not, because it's stuff that normal people do. It's not done because you're wacky or because you just like, you know, whatever, girls in cheerleading outfits or something. It's done because you have a very reasonable, thought out reason to want to do it. And that is terrifying, because because it doesn't, the evil doesn't break down. Like I said, it's going back to It, because you can take that stupid clown and you can twist him in as many dumb ways as you want to, but all that's drawing back to is your story of crazy, crazy clown.
Right.
And that's not real. Yeah. You don't relate to that. You don't whatever. And so the impact of looking at it and like, oh, it might look scary, it might whatever, but it doesn't really mean anything. And this is so scary because it means something.
Right.
Like it is this type of evil or whatever you want to call it exists all around us, inside us. We live this. And now suddenly when you're not making up stupid clown with no rules, now it's terrifying, you know? And like you said, this movie is so effective because like, you can just follow that chain in the, you can whatever, like,
oh, God,
it's, they don't have to make up. They're not creating some weird backstory for you that somehow justifies all the violence that's happening. They're just showing you the violence that's actually happening in the world. And
so how many people do you think... So one thing I just want to... I don't want to, like, mansplain. I really don't want to take over. I just want to be sure that people understand that what I hear from you, Laura, is you're saying that we do this in the sense of, like, and I'll just use the most convenient example, is, like, we get in our cars and we drive every day as though... cars and gas aren't what underlie every American war, global warming, pollution, accidents, urban decay. And we think, oh, well, it's okay because I need to get somewhere and I need to live my life. And we distance ourselves or our clothes, sweatshops, and again, let's travel around the world and poverty wages and all of this sort of thing. So she's not saying that we all... wish to keep somebody in our basement.
Right, exactly.
Want to be sure, you know, I don't know, I get worried about, maybe because I've just had this complaint in my class. I have students complain in my class, and so I'm on sort of like this, okay, let's explain what we actually mean.
Okay, yes, thank you. I was in no way arguing.
I don't know if that was, but... I understand what you're saying, but I know you.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate
there's
that.
A lot of backstory there that maybe not everybody yes. got.
Okay, thank you.
All right, and so now now what we were talking about. What did you end with? Stupid clown.
Yeah, which is that this was actually scary. They weren't creating some dumb story that breaks down when you think about it too hard. When you think about it too hard, maybe, this is my personality. You're right. All of the things you just said seem obvious to me. Like, yes, that's what I meant. Yeah, of course, because I think about these things all the time.
Do people think that?
Well, I don't. Some people do.
I would think that there's a lot of people who go to this movie and would never... Because it's America. We live on ignorance, right, of our... role in, or just modern, maybe not judgy of Americans, but generally speaking, the modern world is like we get to be separate from our contribution to suffering.
Yeah, right? sure. I mean, I think that's human. It's not just American also, but maybe not, but that doesn't mean the people who made it weren't exactly, I mean, this works that's on true. So many levels. And
I'm just
think,
curious, screw whoever who doesn't get it.
But I think, yeah, but I mean, I think that's what it was about. And I don't... Do I think everybody who sees it gets that? No. But I don't think everybody who lives in the world gets that.
I applaud... How many times have we talked recently where it's like, we can just feel... Even with Tall Man, his next film, I particularly remember... I think I listened, I jumped in, and I was like, I can just feel a producer saying, this has to be less this way, or more accessible, or more explained. And I love the fact that, just like you said, there's everything there you need to get. But we're not going to over-explain. We're not going to dumb it down. Absolutely. We're not going to dilute it.
Yes.
And even a drop.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. And they do. I thought that right at the beginning, too, with the... Again, the first time I watched it, I remember being, like, pretty on board. And then Scary Monster shows up. And I was like, God, I hate scary monsters. I hate scary monsters so much. And there's, like, 2 minutes into the movie, we've got a scary monster. Awesome.
Right.
They killed it.
Yeah.
That scary monster absolutely needed to be there. It was perfectly done. Did you notice, too, through the whole first scene where the scary monster, so you don't see its head at all, which I thought was so effective. Like, thank you. Don't show me it having stupid traits that make it scarier. Because, again, it's the story behind it that makes it scary, and you can't make that any better by having bulging eyeballs and whatever. Like, they kept it really sort of subtle. And then they did such a good job.
And then, like you said, speaking of culpability... The fact that she's this child who somehow manages to have an opportunity to escape and sees this woman. I mean, her demon is her culpability. And it's not even her culpability. She's just put in this situation because she's captured and kidnapped and strapped to some chair. And she just has this moment. And she made the right decision, I would say. How's she going to... She's some 12-year-old kid or 8-year-old kid or whatever. She's not going to be able to undo these cuffs or get somebody else out. But she's still like that torments her for the entire rest of her life of, I left this woman behind.
Right.
And this helps me. That helps me understand why Anna like goes down immediately and is like, I'm going to get this woman out of here. Because there was a moment there when I was like, fuck that. Call the cops. Now's when you call the cops. I don't care if there's a pile of bodies in the backyard. I'm not going down to that basement. And I'm certainly not, I'm just not going down that basement. And if I do, I don't know where else I was going to say, like, I was just gonna say, like, I don't care what else is going on. You gotta call someone. There's no way I'm going down there by myself to figure this out. But if we know, or if we take the lesson from Lucy, I mean, they don't specifically talk about it, but I think we can take that lesson from Lucy, is that you can't leave someone if you have the chance. But it's interesting though, because Lucy gets away and that leads to all this, and she never escapes her demon. Anna goes in, and because Anna tried to help this woman, she ends up fucking martyred.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, talk about being a martyr, right? Like, it is her willingness to go into a basement, which nobody in their right mind has any business doing. I'm just telling you.
Right.
Maybe I've watched many horror movies. Somebody has some, like, arcane, like, whatever, dungeon built into, like, some cabinet in their house. I'm not going in there by myself. I'm just summarily not.
Okay, I have to back up just like a minute and then catch right up to you. I just want to say one note on the scary monster situation that went into this.
Oh yeah.
Like I think back to that image of the monster, if you want to call it that, from this movie repeatedly. Like, I feel like the way that just made me visualize trauma differently and how effective that was, and how that was not a crutch at all. It was just it really honestly did like make me think of that differently. And it's a thing in my head that I come back to over and over when I think about someone being traumatized. Absolutely. Like how she's engaging with something almost outside of her. And like, that's just, it was so effective for all my hatred of scary monsters. Oh my God, it was perfect. And I would never have thought to do it that way. And they killed it.
I got to interject before you.
Yeah.
I just want to say the accomplishment of martyrs is that martyrs did that as a side story.
Yeah.
And the Babadook did it 10 years later as the main premise of the film.
It was loved
universally.
Absolutely.
It was like regarded as the best indie horror film of the whole year. And Martyrs already did it as a side story, as an aside. It's like, oh, we can do that in our spare time.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Okay, that's
yes.
all.
Yes, 1,000%. But then, back to what you're saying. I thought the same thing with her going into the basement. Like, oh my God, are you really? And I don't even know 100% if like you're letting her off the hook too easily by saying like, yes. I mean, the whole story you just wove together kind of makes sense. But then it's weird that she like falls asleep on the couch with her friend while the girl's still like in the other room or whatever. Like, she was also a little bit wacky too. And I almost started to write it off a little more as her own kind of craziness a little bit. Like, there are things maybe wrong with her that we don't know exactly, but I got the sense that she wasn't quite being rational. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Because at least, I mean, going down the scary basement, weird. Finding the woman, I guess once you find her, sure, you take her out. But I thought even weirder, once you find her, why do you not call the cops at that moment? Versus, like, trying to... The first time you pull something out of somebody's head, God, do you pull something out of somebody's head? I don't know. Is that really safe? Like, what kind of brain damage are you doing? I mean, like, but I would, like... You know, you get a splinter and you ask me to take it out, I would try. If it's, like, stuck into your brain, I'd be like... That's a 3-inch nail going into your head. Yeah. I feel like a medical professional should... I don't know if I should yank that out. Yeah. She pulls it out. It starts bleeding, like, ridiculously profusely. Yeah. She moves on to number two. That's weird. And then I thought, well, does she not want to... You know, sometimes people don't want to call the police because they don't want to be involved, whatever. Her friend's already
dead. She's got a pile of bodies in the backyard.
Right, but
she's... Sort of. Complicit, I mean, in.
Kind of. But, like, barely compared to her friend who's conveniently not even alive, so she's not trying to save her prison or whatever.
She's also been covering, like you said, she's also a victim of abuse, not to label her as a victim, and she's also been covering for Lucy and, like, dealing with Lucy's injuries and suffering for years, so.
Right.
And I thought when she fell asleep, I did was, like, I sort of just chalked that up to, like, okay, she's been through all of this, now she finally feels like there's a moment, and sometimes exhaustion just takes over.
Sure.
Like, I could attribute, I mean, she was up all night dragging bodies, and
she's
got, you know, patched Lucy up, and then Lucy dies, and then she finds this basement. Like, this is finally a moment when she's like, oh God, I can just breathe for a minute.
Right.
I was like, okay, I can accept that. I mean, she's got to sleep.
Right.
I think if she didn't, the other criticism would be more powerful. Like, come on, this girl's got to sleep sometime.
Right.
But yeah. And did I miss that? When did we learn that Anna was also a victim of child abuse?
When you read it in the thing, I didn't know if that was actually the case.
Yeah, okay.
So maybe she wasn't.
So that's not something I missed. So maybe we should say that maybe that summary is not accurate.
Yeah, I don't know.
I know she was in the hospital, which is where they met, but I didn't ever...
Yeah, I didn't catch that.
See anything specifically about, oh, she was also abused.
And she makes reference to, like, I didn't go through what you did or what. So if That's she was, true. It certainly wasn't to that extent.
Right, right.
But, I mean, she was on the phone with her mom somewhat recently, right? Yeah. So, like, then to think again that she, this totally crazy thing's going on, and she doesn't call anybody, she doesn't. I mean, on the one hand, I'm almost willing to write it off less as, like, what you said kind of makes sense. Like, maybe it's like, oh, she has to do this. But, okay, she's done it. She's gotten her out. She's upstairs. Now you call the police, like something, yeah. You know? And she still didn't. They, first of all, the movie wouldn't fly. If she, and I don't want that to be the answer, but I'm just saying they couldn't have made it. If the cops come in, now it's a totally, that's not the movie they wanted right. to make. So how do you get her to not call the cops? Right. Maybe it's just that she's, I'm willing to say that they made her seem believably somewhat unstable enough. You could buy, like, she didn't. I mean, yes, lots of people would. She didn't.
Okay, as long as we're here, I remember talking about this the first time I watched it, second time you watched it, first time we talked about it. And that is, why is the woman, what did we, her name is Sarah?
Which one?
The woman strapped in the basement.
Oh, I don't know. Do we need to know her name?
Fuck. No, but I am trying to do better about that. Anyway, okay. So the woman in the basement, why, if they're so interested in being able to see the eyes of the martyr, is she literally bolted into a helmet that That's covers interesting. Her eyes?
Yeah. I mean, maybe they just knew she clearly wasn't getting there. I mean, based on the signs that, like, this woman, they showed her sort of transition in giving up, you know, like letting go, all that stuff they talked about. And that woman was scared and skittish and seeing bugs and, you know, whatever. So they knew maybe that she wasn't. But then again, you'd think if you knew she wasn't going down the path, maybe you just keep trying and she'll break eventually. But
okay, because I think you were going to say what I was, because I've reached that same conclusion, but then I was like, okay, so if they know she's not going to martyr, she's not exceptional, kill her.
Yeah, right. Like, right. Why wouldn't they?
And it's such a distinct contrast True. I mean, there is absolutely no other way to block her eyes.
True.
In a movie that's so much about vision, then doing that. Like, the only other way would be, like, literally to carve out her eyes.
That's interesting. That's really interesting.
I remember we talked about this, too, and, like, I just feel like, I'm not going to say just feel like, with this film, I'm going to just say everything was done on purpose. So what is that contrast?
We did have this conversation, didn't we? And I feel totally like I don't know this. How to resolve it, which I don't
remember. I don't remember that we did, but I still think it's an interesting question.
It is interesting.
And like you said, she was so, I think that might help. If we could answer that, that seems like it could offer us some insight into why maybe Anna was so intent on pulling it off herself. Mm-hmm. And I just don't want the answer to be, well, they figured if they did this for long enough, eventually they could pull it off and then they could see. Because it seems, I mean, they make so much of a deal of, like, you got to be able to see it in their eyes and
True. And
you got to be able to tell. And of course, at the same time, like, right before Anna gives up, she has been beaten so bad. I remember thinking that watching it this time, like, her eyes are swollen shut.
True.
I mean, she's just, and I was like, well, how's she going to get the martyr look if she can't even open her eyes because she's beaten? So maybe there's something there about, there's just something there. Because I just don't believe that was, oh, well, this time she got beaten to where her eyes are closed shut.
Interesting. And this is probably what I said last time, too, that I'm always tempted to say, well, yeah, either you found a flaw or... Well, I guess they just didn't really notice that. And I know you'll be like, no, that's...
It's such a specific contraption. I mean, if you needed her to be, just put her in a dark room. Tie a thing around her eyes. Put a mask on her. Carve out her eyes.
Okay, how about this?
I mean, there's just a million other things other than to create this contraption that's bolted to your head that is unlike anything we've ever seen in horror before.
Once they took it off, didn't she start scraping her face against the wall and stuff like that? Maybe she was trying to claw her own eyes out. Maybe they were protecting her eyes.
Okay, that I could actually buy. Yes, absolutely. She pulls it off. She starts scraping her head against the wall.
So if they thought she was going that direction and letting go the way she should have, maybe they would have taken it off.
I mean, she can't claw her own eyes out. Oh, maybe she can, because they do let her move around. Her arms are relatively free. I thought about that quite a bit. I was like, "What is there some way I could kill myself? You could hang yourself."
Yeah.
It's dark. Like, I gotta tell you, I really do feel like if I were Anna and I'd pulled that woman out with the shit bolted to her head and I was down there, I'd have fucking wrapped my neck in chains and hung myself. I like a champ. Like, that would have been my goal as soon as whoever left. I didn't think about that before. I was sitting there thinking, like, can't you like swallow your own tongue? Can you like chew off your own tongue and choke yourself to death with it? Like, can't you choke yourself and vomit? And then I was like, could I choke myself to death like in my own, or could I drown myself in my own urine? Like, I was like desperately like, okay, if this is really the situation I'm looking at, how could
it's
you?
A good movie, Marshall, that makes you go down that road, isn't it? How would I get my own urine in my mouth? Okay, like, can I actually...
You can drown yourself in a bathtub, right? Like, I don't know about a bucket.
Do you have to, like, fall asleep or something? I feel like you have to...
Well, that's what I was thinking. I was like... And then I was like, you know, in Silence of the Lambs, Lecter talks to Miggs next door after Starling comes the first time, and they're like, he swallowed his own tongue and killed himself.
Is that a thing? Okay. Yeah,
apparently.
Okay.
Maybe you need a long tongue. I don't know. Or maybe you have to chew it off and then you...
What if you just swallow it and you're like, well, that sucked.
Okay. Anyway. Obviously, I'm not Anna. I'm not an exceptional. I would not be a martyr. Right. I'd be like, well, that experiment didn't last. He's dead. I guess I didn't get to be a martyr anyway because I'm a guy. It's all women. They explain it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the most bizarrely feminist statement maybe ever, is that women are better at dealing with suffering, or they're more used to it because we shit on them as, you know, a culture and as a species, and therefore they're better suited to be martyrs. It's the most bizarrely feminist thing.
And at the same time, it's still a movie about watching women be tortured.
Right.
In their underwear.
Right. Although, I will say this, too. I thought about that also. I did not see a moment at any time when I thought anybody was sexualized.
No, I agree with you. Yeah. And when
despite, you know, there's nudity, there's, like you said, underwear and flimsy clothing and in the rain, I never felt a moment of eroticization.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And I also fully, truly appreciate the fact that they were not going to accomplish martyrdom by raping her. It was never even a threat. Mm-hmm. It was never on the table.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this. I'm so against, it's such a problematic thing to depict in film, rape in general. It's such a trite and just overused plot device and character arc for women in horror. She's going to be raped. She got raped.
Yeah.
We're going to threaten her with rape.
Yeah.
That explains her whole character. And this is immediately what we're going to go to as the way to torture a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not even part of the discussion at any level.
Yeah.
And I fully appreciate that and respect it. Even though I think a lesser creator would have done that. I mean, if you're going to try and put a woman through suffering, or that seems like something that many people would use as like, oh, well, then we'll just do that. Mm-hmm. That'll be the easy answer. So that, for me, I appreciate that. I respected that it was, I don't know exactly. I mean, that raises that question, too, about, so the woman has her head bolted together and then also around her genitals. Mm-hmm. Maybe, I don't know if that has anything to do with anything either.
Yeah, I don't know.
Camera work, fantastic. Especially there's a montage of the montage where the woman is first discussing. The woman first comes in and Anna's strapped or handcuffed to the table, and she's talking about all the martyrs that she's collected these pictures of. And there's a montage, and every time they cut back to Anna, they get a little bit more close up on the eyes. It is fucking brilliant. It perfectly reflects in the editing what is happening to the character and the plot. Because what mm-hmm. we're doing now is everything has now come together to focus on whether or not, in Anna's eyes, we see her become a martyr. It's unbelievable. In the chain. Fucking chain. And the fucking ladder.
Yeah.
Like, how effective
yeah,
is
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
How effective is that? Like, that sound, if I ever heard that sound again in some other movie, or like I heard a ladder like that somehow in real life, I don't know if those exist, but mm-hmm. it's so effective. It reminds me of the sound in the other use of sound that is remarkable like that is, again, in Silence of the Lambs, when it's the powering on of his night vision goggles.
Oh yeah.
Is it, what else do we have? Do we have more? I asked you about the helmet. We don't have a good... We've got something there. The scraping is good. That I like.
I was going to say on sound, the only thing I thought that was odd... I won't necessarily say, but just odd, was the music that came in when the weird monster showed up. Did you notice that?
Oh, I don't know.
It was weird. It was weird. Dated?
Weird is weird. Not appropriate to the sentiment of the...
Felt like a choice, and it isn't a choice I would have made.
So you're saying it was weird in the sense it wasn't necessarily the best fit.
It didn't feel that way to me. I'm inclined not to criticize it because it was just so good. That whole scene, all of that was so effective that I don't want to...
Yeah.
I would say I wouldn't have chosen it. It didn't pull me out of the moment, really, but I noticed it enough to be like, huh, really? And then I was like, I don't care. It's working. It's fine. Sure. But I think if I had been like working on the film, I would have paused at that music and said, really, let's try something different. Unless someone had a really good explanation or a really good, could somehow sell me on it. I found it to be a little odd.
Are you opposed to me pulling that out just to hear it real quick?
No, yeah.
When the creature appears.
Yeah, go back to when it's like not there and then it shows up. Just odd.
It is odd. It's I guess I didn't notice it in particular. I mean, it's just a thud, or it's just a bass or a set rhythm.
There wasn't a lot of that. I feel like in the film in general, that wasn't there. Like there wasn't like that kind of component, and just the fact that it was notable. I don't know if I would have gone with it.
I appreciate that. I that makes me think that. This is also a film that I think we talked about this with The Exorcist. The Exorcist is like super well known for its theme. Bells, something bells. I can't think of it. I know the name of the track, but I can't think of it. But there's so much of the movie is actually silent. Or not silent, but doesn't have music. And I remember talking with someone about there's so much horror does rely on music. And music is so important and powerful for so much horror. And there was music in this, but very rarely for the impact that it had. I mean, it was there for this, but like there's so much the film where it's either very minimal music or it's not there at all.
Yeah.
And to still be able to achieve that tone and that weight and that suspense without relying on yeah, you know, yeah. I mean, is also super impressive. How would we improve the film? We wish we could.
Yeah, I was right. I've got, out of respect for this film, I'm going to refuse to answer that question.
Yeah, and we've talked about the character continuum, because it's all, like you said, it's culpability and evil and motivation.
The only other thing I can think of to ask about that is somehow I thought there might be something where like are Lucy and Anna the two sides of a whole person, or are they each their own full developed character? Do you want to just think of that?
I don't know if that's evoking a whole lot of
thought.
Yeah,
it came up because of the creature. It's like, okay, here's this second. And so I hate to go Freudian, yeah. But if this were, if creature's superego, or not, that wouldn't be it. If creature's id and Lucy's Anna, Lucy's ego is Anna's superego. She's the responsible one. She's I don't want to go Freudian. I don't know if it's there, but that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because they do. I mean, they're distinguishable, mm-hmm. but they are similar in look.
Yeah,
they both have dark hair. I guess that's about it.
Maybe I don't. I feel there's I have to feel. I'm Finn, sort of exhausted by this whole experience. Just not only watching it and then talking through all of it, and the fact that I haven't been sleeping a whole lot lately probably isn't helping. But I have to say that's not that. I don't know. It's just. My brain somehow is like rejecting that question, not out of disagreement with it, but just, I don't know.
Okay.
I might just be running out of steam.
Wait, will you give me just a moment?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Talk through.
Oh, absolutely.
I just want to see if I can talk through and figure out. Lucy escapes. Anna ends up going through all the way to martyrdom. Anna is the protector and the care. And Lucy is the, like, vengeance and wrath and violence. And Anna... So there's all these where they are complement each other. Do they have any, like, true overlap other than they were in the hospital? Do we know? Did we ever find out? We don't ever find out why Anna was in the hospital, do we?
No.
Just that she is?
And I guess they have some sort of romantic relationship, kind of.
That's right.
But
she kisses her, and she's
I appreciate.
She just murdered a family. I'm not really feeling. Freaking out right now.
And I appreciate how subtle they were about all of that. They didn't introduce some sort of like lesbian relationship component in a way that was like it was cool that she kisses her, and then Lucy is like. Says something like, what are you doing? So it wasn't even clear if that was an ongoing.
Right.
Maybe Anna had feelings for her and Lucy had no idea, and that had never happened before. Like, you don't really know.
Yeah.
And then the mom kind of alludes to, like, are you still with her? But that doesn't mean
That just means.
I mean, who knows what that means. That was. It was enough there to put. I think it was useful because it put in your mind this idea that. It gave your reason, another reason for Anna to be around, that she had some sort of extra. Affinity for this person, whether it was like maybe sort of romantic you know, that was helpful, but they didn't overdo it. They didn't make it tropey. They didn't make it like unnecessarily part of the movie.
Right.
That wasn't really your question. Your question was on overlap between them, but that was the one thing I would say that felt like it drew them together, at least from Anna's. I mean, Lucy certainly needed any kind of help management company that she could get. She was kind of just reactionary.
Right.
And that maybe gave Anna more of a reason for wanting to be there.
And does that help us understand why Anna gets to be the martyr? Because she was so willing to care for this. God, what about that? So what if by damaging Lucy so profoundly, the people end up producing Anna as a martyr because she's had to care for... the damage that they originally caused Lucy.
Maybe. See, I feel like we're conflating two different ideas of martyr, though, because there's martyr, like, the way they described it, which is more like somebody who got to see something, and then there's martyr as in, like, you sort of voluntarily take on... you know, like.
But she does voluntarily take on Lucy's.
She voluntarily takes on Lucy's, yeah. But she doesn't. I mean, all this other stuff is just done to her. She doesn't. She's not on board with their plan. She just gives up, kind of.
But that does help us explain why she's an exceptional person who can become.
Because she's willing to take on other people's.
And, yeah, and she does, pain. Yeah. I mean, talk about someone True. Who's willing to. Well, she witnesses Maybe. For Lucy as well. I agree with you. I'm totally doing slippage between two definitions. But she does witness for Lucy. She's like, she sees all this. She's not going to tell anyone. Yeah. She's not going to. She's just going to go help her out, cover her up, do what she can. With the mother is where she questions for a minute and falters. And that's actually, that's interesting. So. That's when she steps in and tries to save Mom. Isn't that directly what leads to Lucy and ultimately killing herself? Because that shakes that makes her question Anna's faith in her and in her story. And she's like, if you don't believe me, I can't continue.
Oh, is it? See, I thought the reason she killed herself was because she finally when she killed the mom, which was. Maybe not necessary exactly at that point, but she does it so brutally. Like, now she knows they're all really gone, and her demon is still there. Like, that didn't fix the demon. And when she saw the demon, and she says to the demon, like, come on, I did this for you. Look, they're gone. They're gone. You don't have to worry. And then the demon's still there. And I thought then she's like, all right, screw it. I was doing all of this to get rid of my demon. My demon didn't go away. So
it's over. That makes sense to me. Okay, that's okay. So, yeah, I don't think my idea pans out. But I'm still happy we thought about it. I think there's more we could talk about. I'll just say this because all of this conversation is why we use it as a benchmark of
absolutely, yeah,
accomplishment yeah. in horror film. If you enjoyed this, the film that he both wrote and directed after this is The Tall Man, which is another episode that we'll do probably next. We'll be up next. It's already done. I'd like to see Ghostland like as soon as it comes out.
Yeah. Can we give like a spoiler alert on Tall Man in this podcast?
Yeah.
Or is that not allowable?
Right yeah. Now? Oh, absolutely. Spoiler for that too.
I mean, like, can we just say,
oh,
can
sure.
I just, can I yeah, now?
Absolutely.
Okay. God, this makes me hate the Tall Man even more. Yeah. Oh my God. It's like, I knew when watching it, it didn't anywhere near live up to what I wanted it to. But after seeing this movie again for the third time and again being blown away by how wonderful it was. Oh my God.
The Tall Man's not going to get better on repeat viewings.
No. I mean, it wasn't... This movie made me kind of hate The Tall Man, and it's not... The Tall Man wasn't worthy of hatred if it came from anything else, but, like, the person who did this did that?
Yeah.
Not to be mean to... I'm sorry. Like, I don't... You know, I feel, like you had said when we were watching Tall Man, so whoever did
so
Martyrs...
Bad for
it's got to be
Pascal,
very hard to, like... Yeah, it's going to be very hard to, like, live up to that. And now you must be... You have to come up with another movie, and so there must... You know, maybe it's not going to be as good. How is it even possible to make this and then make that? It's not that it was that bad, but compared to this, it was that bad.
Yeah.
It was amateur and just not good.
Well, now I'm both super curious to watch the first one.
Yes, me too.
Because it apparently led to him being able to do Martyrs, right?
Yeah.
And then... What's coming in April?
Oh, God, again, yes, I absolutely want to see it. Maybe?
Wait,
maybe
we, it did, we saw that trailer. No, we didn't. We saw a trailer for something else. I don't want to see a trailer.
Yeah, no.
Actually, I just thought of that. If I go see something else and they have a trailer that looks like it's Ghostland, I'm working out, at least for the trailer.
Yeah.
So, yes, spoiler for Tall Man. By all means, listen to that. I think we do quite a bit of comparison there.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't know if we're going to include this, but my last thing is I'd like to talk a little bit about my idea for Incubate.
Right now?
Just a second.
I'm just so
I'm
really
I don't
tired. Mean tired, but I feel like I'm exhausted by this experience.
Yeah, and it is exhausting. I was thinking like, oh no, I'm just going to go home. What am I going to do?
I think it's funny when you said we should do this as a double feature with anything. It was like the worst idea ever. Just throw that out there, Marshall.
I have to say.
Okay, also, can I just
get
one more complaint, not about this, but also worst idea ever, just to put this on the record. The second time I saw the movie, the first time you saw it. Can we just say that the woman who was hosting the movie showed up in a suit that was like a skinned alive kind of suit and gave an intro to the film dressed like that in almost like a, like, hey, this is a cult movie. Look at me. I'm dressed up with no skin. And I think it ruined the experience even more than I realized at the time. I was trying at the theater to shield Marshall from it. I saw her in the lobby and I was trying to make him look the other way. Yeah, and like, I was like, don't, I just don't want you to see what's going on over there. Just don't. And then, when she came out at the, to give her a little talk, I think I told you to close your eyes.
She proceeded to come into the theater. Yes.
And I was like, just don't, I don't,
and
you just
stand in front of the theater and blather on about nothing.
Well, no, but then,
not nothing, blather on about the details of the movie.
And she gave away the ending.
And I was like, hands in my ears and like, blah, 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 like trying to ignore all of this.
Yeah. It was horrible, horrible. And like anybody who could do that just doesn't understand, I think, the artistic talent behind this and the impact it's supposed to, like, it was just so bad. It was so bad to do that. It was just so terrible.
And I will say, I'm very happy. So after the movie in the theater, so this is a woman who like still runs like horror movie series, like curates them and screens them in Denver. I will forever be bitter. I absolutely agree. I can be confrontational. I said something to her after that was not super nice, but like, yo, not everybody's seen this movie.
It was blunt, but it was accurate. Blunt. It was not like you weren't unnecessarily like inflammatory. No.
I was like, don't dress up like the spoiler of the fucking movie or whatever it was.
Yes.
And then we proceeded to yell at each other across the
she yelled
lobby.
At you. She picked the fight. I honestly think all you legitimately
like,
raised an issue.
Is yeah. What I remember saying
yeah. Yeah. And like, you should never come back to Jennifer Films again or something.
And then I said something like, you should never be allowed to screen a horror movie or you never don't understand the whole genre. So I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So I said something like that, which I am glad I said.
Yeah.
We were yelling at each other across the lobby.
But to be fair, you honestly really were you approached her. Just
I was
pointing,
upset.
You were upset, but you didn't come across as like inflammatory. You were pointing out a legitimate problem with the way she did it, which is absolutely something that needs to be pointed out. Like, don't show up as a spoiler for the film.
Before, like, don't then, afterwards well, come then, out after right. and be like, wasn't that a great movie?
Right, which is still weird.
Which would still
because
be unacceptable.
How do you, like I said, the weightiness of this movie, how do you walk out dressed as a, I mean, I can't even imagine. I just can't even, it was like, I feel like the mood has lightened since we started this, you know, two hours ago. But like, I just don't.
Maybe I'll post that on the website. I don't ever show you that. I wrote a scathing email to C. And I still I still don't like to go to that theater because of it.
Yeah.
Partially because they never even responded to my email.
Yeah.
Even not even a polite like dismissal. Like, whatever, we think she's cool. Thanks for your feedback.
Yeah.
Like nothing. Well, nothing.
It was just a horrible thing to do. And then you said entirely legitimate things about it, and then she really was the one who picked the fight with you after. I felt like she escalated very quickly to you're an asshole. Like, you were like, you did this thing that was wrong, and I'd like you to know that that really bothered my enjoy, like that hurt my enjoyment of the film. And she's like, fuck you, which was not really an appropriate, you know, like that was. And then I mean, I think you only yelled back, and that's beside the point, but
I'm glad you brought that up. I'd like to get that. We're not gonna say her name because screw her. She shouldn't ever get any recognition for anything.
I mean, that was, again, that's a little inflammatory. That, I don't know if she doesn't deserve any recognition for anything.
She should never be allowed in
she
a
went home
movie
and thought about the fact. I hope she went home and thought about that later when she was not feeling so. And
suffered.
And changed her ways in the future and thought, you know, he had some valid points. Maybe I shouldn't do that again. Especially for the best movie ever. We were like so happy we could see in a theater.
Right.
And then I'm like, cover your eyes, cover your ears. Yeah. Can you, oh God, can you hear what she's saying? Oh,
right.
She totally just gave away the whole ending of the movie. All right. Anyway, I'm really tired. You want mental energy for that conversation, and
I do.
I don't have any anymore. Okay. Hey, but I'm not going to go watch Golden Girls for 3 hours and then not watch another horror movie for several months. So,
no,
I mean, the impact is dulled having seen it 3 times, but still.
So should we watch the next movie be his first one?
Yeah, sure.
And then we'll watch Ghost Slam
sometime
and when it comes out.
Sure.
When I see that listed somewhere, I'll let you know when we get tickets.
Cool.
All right. Well, if you are as tired as Laura is, thank you for enduring. We hope you appreciated this conversation. I did. It helped me process. I feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
I would need to watch Golden Girls if we hadn't. I'm still probably going to watch something.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do.
Should we, like, say goodbye, or was that it?
I don't know. So let's, we can say goodbye. Until next time, goodbye. This is... Put your bag up there. Until next time.
Like, so bye. I didn't have anything in particular to say. It just seemed weird to cut it on it, like, Golden Girls.
I'm Laura.
And I'm tired.
Laura, who's tired, both as usual.
Because I'm tired and because, oh my God, this movie's tiring. So
that's all. This is Marshall. This is the Collective Nightmares podcast. Instagram, Collective Nightmares. Admin at Collective Nightmares. CollectiveNightmares.com is email. We'd love to hear anything that you think about all of our horror film discussion. Thanks. Okay. That's good.
That was exhausting.
I appreciate you sticking it out past your stated.